All right, buckle up, everyone, because today we're diving deep into a case that's, well, it's a pretty big deal in contract law. Wood v. Lucy, Lady Duff Gordon.
Yeah, this one's a classic.
Oh, absolutely. We've got a stack of sources on this one, and trust me, you won't believe how much a case from 1917 still impacts, like, agreements we see every single day.
It really does. Wood v. Lucy, it gets right to the core of, well, what makes a contract enforceable, you know, even when the terms are kind of fuzzy.
Okay, so paint us a picture. What's the story behind this whole thing?
All right, so imagine this. The roaring 20s, New York City is booming. Lady Duff Gordon, she's like the fashion icon. Think Coco Chanel, but like even bigger, you know? The OG influencer, basically.
Yes. The original influencer.
And then you've got Otis Wood, an entrepreneur, saw an opportunity, you know, to maybe make some money off of Lady Duff Gordon's fame.
The classic partnership play. So what kind of deal did they work out?
They put together a contract. It gave Wood exclusive rights to market her designs, endorsements, the whole shebang. Sounds pretty good for Wood, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Exclusivity. The cut of the profits. What could go wrong?
Well, that's where things get a little sticky. See, the contract, it didn't actually say Wood had to do anything. To market her designs, I mean. He could, sure, he had the right, but there was nothing saying he had to lift a finger.
Hang on. So Lady Duff Gordon, she just hands over control of her brand, her income, and Wood doesn't have to do a thing. That sounds like a pretty big risk for someone at the top of their game.
Oh, it was. And that's exactly what the defense argued when it went to court. They said there was no consideration from Wood.
Consideration.
Basically, in legal terms, he wasn't bringing anything to the table except a promise to maybe, possibly do something.
Ah, so consideration. It's like the legal equivalent of putting your money where your mouth is.
You got it. For a contract to be legally binding, both sides have to offer something of value. You know, most of the time it's simple. Goods for money, services for a fee. But here, they argued that Wood wasn't obligated to actually do anything, which made the contract, well, pretty one-sided.
Okay, hold up. This went to court. So what happened? Did Wood just sit back and, like, watch Lady Duff Gordon's empire fall apart?
Not quite. He did start marketing her designs, but then, well, Lady Duff Gordon might have gotten a little antsy, or maybe she saw other opportunities because she started doing endorsements, you know, on her own. Cut Wood out of the deals, kept the profits for herself.
Oh, ouch. That's gotta hurt. A breach of contract and a stab in the back all in one. So did that missing obligation for Wood, did it tank the whole contract? Did the court side with Lady Duff Gordon?
That's where Justice Cardozo steps in. And his ruling, it wasn't just about the words in the contract, you know. It was about what they meant to do, what made sense in the real world of business.
All right, color me intrigued. Break it down for us. What did Justice Cardozo decide?
He focused on this idea of business efficacy, meaning you have to interpret a contract in a way that lets it, you know, actually work. He argued that if Wood did nothing, absolutely nothing, Lady Duff Gordon would get nothing in return for giving him exclusivity. And, well, that couldn't have been what either of them intended. I mean, think about it. It'd be like if you leased out a storefront, right, but then never actually opened a store. The whole point is to use it, make some money. Same idea here.
So what you're saying is Cardozo was like, come on, guys, this contract, it has to mean that Wood's got to do something.
Exactly. He even said, and this is famous, we are not to suppose that one party was to be placed at the mercy of the other. That's Wood v. Lucy in a nutshell. The court, they got it. Even if it wasn't written down, Wood had to at least try. To market her stuff, I mean.
Wow. Okay. So they basically read between the lines of the contract to make sure it was fair.
It was a big deal. Wood v. Lucy, it set a huge precedent. Courts can look beyond just the words, you know, consider the context, what everyone was thinking, whether it's a fair deal.
This makes me think of, like, influencer deals today, where someone gets exclusive rights to promote a brand. Could they just sit on those rights, not do anything?
You're right on the money. Wood v. Lucy, it's surprisingly relevant today, especially with these new ways of doing business.
Okay, so break it down for me. Let's say an influencer, right? They get exclusive rights to promote, I don't know, some new athletic wear. Does that mean they're legally obligated to, like, make viral TikToks and Instagram stories every day because of Wood v. Lucy?
Well, it's not that cut and dry. See, modern law, the UCC, it spells out this idea of implied obligation. But that's for selling goods. Wood v. Lucy, it's more about services.
Right. Influencer marketing, that's services, not goods.
Okay.
So how does Wood v. Lucy apply?
The big takeaway is this. When you have exclusivity in a contract, right, and how much someone gets paid depends on what they do, then it's implied that they have to actually do something. They can't just hold on to those rights without doing any work.
So our influencer, let's say their contract says they get a cut of the sales from their promotions, right? Then they have to actually try to promote those shoes, even if the contract doesn't specifically say you must make cool content.
Exactly. The court wouldn't let them just coast on that exclusivity while the brand gets nothing.
That makes sense. But reasonable effort? That feels kind of vague, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What even counts as reasonable? Would, like, one Instagram post a month be enough?
You've hit on a key point. What's reasonable, it can be subjective. And remember, reasonable effort, it's not the same as best effort. That's why you see these specific clauses in contracts now. You know, what exactly is everyone supposed to do?
So Wood v. Lucy, it's like a backup plan, but it's better to just be super clear up front. Mm-hmm. Avoid the drama. You know,
100% clear communication, good contracts. That's always the best. But Wood v. Lucy, it's a reminder. The courts won't let someone get taken advantage of if the whole deal implies that both sides have to do their part.
It reminds me of those best effort clauses. Are those because of cases like Wood v. Lucy?
Oh, absolutely. Those clauses, they're there because of all the confusion that can happen when it's not clear what everyone's supposed to do.
So even though this case is, what, over 100 years old, it's still affecting how we do business today.
It really is. Wood v. Lucy, it shows how these legal ideas can last and how courts change with the times.
So we've been digging into this Wood v. Lucy Lady Duff Gordon case, and it's pretty wild, right? Like, a fight from the 1920s about fashion still matters so much today.
It does, yeah. Shows you these legal principles. They stick around. Law has to keep up with how we do business, right?
Totally. But before we wrap things up, I'm curious. Are there times when a court might not find an implied obligation, even if there's exclusivity in the deal?
That's a great question. And it brings up a really important point. Wood v. Lucy, it's not like a magic rule that works everywhere. Courts are careful about, you know, adding stuff to contracts, especially if it changes what people agreed to in a big way.
So it's not like anyone can just shout implied obligation and the court's on their side.
Nope, not at all. Courts look at all sorts of things. The words in the contract, what's normal in that industry, if the people have worked together before, the whole situation. They're trying to figure out what the deal was really supposed to be.
Sounds like a balance, right? Between freedom to make your own deals, but also making sure things are fair.
Exactly. Contracts law is all about that balance. Wood v. Lucy, it's a great example of how courts handle that. It reminds us, clear terms are best, but the law is there to make sure nobody's getting tricked by sneaky wording, you know?
So what are the big takeaways here? About Wood v. Lucy, what should people remember?
Number one, context matters. Courts aren't going to get hung up on every single word if it means the outcome's totally unfair, if it goes against what the deal was really about.
Like, the letter of the law kills, but the spirit gives life.
Yeah, exactly. Wood v. Lucy brought some of that spirit into contract law. Second, this case, it shows how important these implied obligations are. Even if the contract doesn't say you got to put in effort, common sense tells you you can't just benefit from exclusivity and do nothing.
Like we said before, you don't lease a store and then never open up. The point is to use what you're given.
Right. And finally, Wood v. Lucy. It shows that while the courts can step in to stop someone being taken advantage of, it's way better to be proactive.
Meaning, write good contracts, spell everything out, what everyone's supposed to do.
You got it. Best way to avoid fights and lawsuits is to have a contract that's super clear. But Wood v. Lucy teaches us, even when it's not perfect, the law can help keep things fair.
A safety net, but not something you want to rely on. Better to have those best effort clauses in there right from the start.
Agreed. So think about this. How does Wood v. Lucy apply to, like, the internet? All these online agreements, terms of service, effort is hard to define online, right? And we're always doing new kinds of deals. How do these old ideas work in that world?
Ooh, good question. Something to think about. Well, folks, we covered a lot today. From 1920s fashion to contract law, all the way to the internet age.
It just goes to show the law's always changing, but it's all about fairness and common sense, really.
And that's what makes it so interesting. All right, everyone, until next time, go out there armed with the knowledge of Wood v. Lucy, Lady Duff Gordon, and the power of those implied obligations. Write clear agreements and appreciate how the law keeps things fair.